College Inn Porterhouse in Chicago's famous Hotel Sherman, we invite your family to join the millions of families from coast to coast and listen to America's favorite, Don McNeil, in his Breakfast Club. And here is your Toastmaster, Don McNeil.
Good morning, Breakfast Clubbers. Morning to ya. We woke up bright and early. Just howdy do ya. First call to breakfast for all of you out there.
America, wake the Breakfast Club, it's on the air.
Well, good morning to you. In our audience this morning, we have mostly Wisconsin hotel resort owners. And I'm delighted to have them because having been raised in Wisconsin, I spend a good deal of my time trying to get out of bills at have fun at resorts in Wisconsin, and I did. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and they've got a wonderful state there. I kind of feel like I'm part of Wisconsin myself. So, as I say, it's a delight to have them here, as well as a couple of...
You're not going
to
sing that song today. Are you building up to that?
No.
You're not going to sing Sheboygan?
No. You ain't rest safe. A regular gang here. Betty Cox and Sam and Dick Noel and Eddie Valentine in the orchestra, so it looks like we ought to have a lot of fun before we're through here. Because we have so many people from places like Rhinelander and Minocqua and so on in Wisconsin, rather small but wonderful towns, they might be interested in this little story somebody gave me about a visitor in one of these little towns, and he was talking to a local resident. And another man passed by and spoke to the local resident, and the visitor said, who's that guy? And he was told that the passerby was one of the leading businessmen in town. And the visitor said, well, what kind of place does he run? Well, the local resident says he sells auto parts, and he buys butter and eggs, and he has a branch post office, and he sells money orders and stamps, and he serves as a justice of the peace, and he has a lunch counter, and he's got a magazine stand, and he repairs lawnmowers in the back. He said, well, I guess you'd call it a drugstore. That's about what they are in a small town, too. Gotta have everything these days. Well, talk about small towns. Now, here's a couple. The Leisures. What a wonderful name. L-E-I-S-U-R-E, just like it sounds. Leisures, from Fairmont, Indiana. Where are the Leisures? The Leisures, father and son. And this is kind of interesting because you are George, huh?
Yes, I am.
How are you, George?
I'm just fine.
Good. How old are you?
I am 18 now.
18? And you're older than that, of course, Charles.
43.
Thank you. I think this is amazing because this is a tour that you are taking your father on, George, that you won at a radio station.
Yes, the boy you just talked to, Dan Immel, is... from the station that I won the award from.
Well, good for you. And so you, here's the interesting thing. Their name is Leisure. He won this thing. So he brings his father with him. And what do? They leave their mother at home to slop the hogs and take care of the cow. Is that right?
Yes. She's scared to death of one, too.
Is she? Yeah.
That's right.
How come you didn't bring Ma along?
Well, the trip was for two.
Well, I think that explains itself. All right. We've just seen the new definition of leisure in America. All right, here's Betty Cox now with Indiana.
Back home again in Indiana, and it seems that I can see the gleaming candlelight still shining bright. For me, the new mown hay sends all its fragrance from the fields I used to roam. When I dream about the moonlight on the Wabash, that's when I long for my Indiana home. Thank you. dream about the moonlight on the water. That's when I long for my Indiana home.
Betty, you sang about that as if you really know something about it. You ever been in Indiana?
Never have been in Indiana.
That's why you were able to do it so well.
Yeah, I have a brother-in-law from there, but I think about my home back home in Nebraska, see, and then I can sing about Indiana with enthusiasm.
And you did. You sure did.
Thank you.
Oh, we got a fella sitting next to me here who's probably never been to Indiana either, but he sure has been a lot of other places. If you want to know what to do with your hair, this fella ought to be the answer. He's been court hairdresser in London. He's twice world's hairdressing champion. He styled the hair of a lot of movie stars, New York junior leaguers. He's known as Dermot of London, although London is not your original home, is it?
No, I was born in Ireland.
Yes, tell that from that fine Irish accent. In fact, your right name is what?
Dermot Quinn.
Dermot Quinn. You know, most hairdressers that I've seen are gentlemen who are of the French extraction, perhaps, or at least they speak with the accent. How you get away with that Irish brogue thing?
Well, I think it's really an advantage to be Irish and be in the hairdressing business.
Do you?
I do. I think a lot of our Irish brownie goes a long way with the ladies.
Well, I see. You've got something there. And I've seen some with I've seen some with green hair, too.
That's right.
Really? Green streaks in their hair. Do you ever do that?
Oh, not. We don't go to that extreme.
Don't you? What do you think of this new business, the beehive, the straw stack, and all that?
Well, that is on its way out.
Is it?
But fast, yes.
I'm so glad.
It was probably one of our most sensational fashions, but very short-lived because it is terribly impractical. It looks very nice after the professional hairdresser gets through with it. But have you ever seen a lady the next morning after she tries to juggle with this thing?
Right here. May I tell you, I'm wearing a beehive this morning.
Is that a beehive you've got?
Yes, and believe me, I'm so glad it's on its way out. I'll tell you, I've had a terrible time sleeping all week long. The whole 5 or 6 hours I get to bed, it was terrible. Next time, if I ever come again, I'm taking my hair down, I'll tell you.
Well, you come over, Betty, to me, and I'll arrange to design something real nice for you.
Oh, thank you. I'd love it.
I've just come back from Paris and Rome and London, where I viewed a lot of the fashion shows, and I sort of interpret the French fashions for the American woman. The American women are all busy. They cannot afford to have a hairdresser come in every day and comb their hair, so we have to give them something that is fashionable and yet practical.
Yes.
So that is what we're up to at the moment. We are definitely going back to short hair, although it has sort of a long-haired look to it. We're leaving the hair long on top and doing all sorts of fancy things on top, so it looks almost like a hat on top of the head. But it is actually short hair on the back and on the sides. So it's going to be a very, very good fashion. I introduced it here in Chicago about 3 weeks ago. And
At
Charles A. Stevens and Company. And we have been most successful. Most everybody has liked it. And the fact that they can look neat. And you know how men like women to look neat. So that is one of the things that...
Oh, I don't care much.
Well, don't you think that the ladies want to please the gents?
Well, I presume I was going to ask you that. Is that when they have their hair fixed real fancy-like, is it really for some other women they're doing this, for themselves or for men?
Well, it depends, I guess. First of all, they realize that they want to look different because women get a little tired of wearing the same hairdo all the time. So they take a chance on looking maybe a little freakish. But after the man criticizes her, right away she comes back and takes on something that's a little not quite so extreme.
Yes, and of course men are always getting in women's hair, so they probably have themselves to blame for the way their wives look. Well, Dermot, thanks for the tips, and I know the women will be delighted to know that these real high deals are going out again so that they can rest easy when they wake up in the morning, huh?
And I think the gents will like the idea, too.
I do, too. Thank you very much. Dermot of London. Well, I admit my ignorance about women's hairdos, but I'm sure one thing. It takes the gals to know the value of money.
I don't know. My wife is money mad.
Yeah?
Yeah, if I don't give her money, she gets real mad.
Well, I understand that, yeah. All right, Mr. Noel.
Yeah?
Babyface, we haven't heard from you yet.
Nelson.
All right.
Babyface, you got the cutest little babyface. There's not another one could take your place. Babyface, my poor heart is jumping. You sure have started something, babyface. I'm up in heaven when I'm in your fond embrace. I didn't need a shove, 'cause I fell in love with your pretty babyface.
Play it, Edward.
I'm up in heaven when I'm in your fond embrace. I didn't need a shove, 'cause I fell in love with your pretty baby, pretty baby, pretty baby.
That brings us to our moment of silent prayer, in which I ask you, each in his own words, each in his own way, for a world united in peace, let us bow our heads and pray. Memory this morning, memory time that is, Alan Nickerson of New York sent this little verse, and a lot of you will say, that is I, when I get through with it. There's nothing whatever the matter with me. I'm just as healthy as I can be. Of course, I have arthritis in both my knees. When I talk, I speak with a wheeze, and my pulse is weak, my blood is thin, but I'm awfully well for the shape I'm in. I think my liver is out of whack. I have a terrible pain in my back. My hearing is poor. My eyes are dim. Most everything seems to be out of trim. I mean, the way I stagger sure is a crime. I'm likely to fall most any time. But all things considered, I'm feeling fine. Arch supports I have for both feet, or I wouldn't be able to walk on the street. My fingers are ugly, stiff at the joints. My nails are impossible to keep in points. Complexion is poor due to dry skin, but I'm awfully well for the shape I'm in. My dentures are driving me crazy. I'm restless at night. When I get up, I'm simply a sight. My memory is failing. My head's in a spin. I'm practically living on aspirin. But I'm awfully well for the shape I'm in. Now, the moral is, as this tale is unfold, that for you and for me who are growing old, it's better to say I'm fine with a grin than to tell anyone of the shape that we're in. It just doesn't do you no good. Now, the special guest I was talking about is a person I've seen many times on television. I imagine you have, too. She's the author of many books, and she's certainly appeared many times on Broadway, too. And it's a delight to have her here. Miss Ilka Chase is with us this morning around the bend. In comes this delightful lady now, who always, every time I've ever seen her, looks so sharp and pretty and smart. How do you do it?
Well, it's all a kind of a fog to me at this hour, Don, although I'm very, very happy to be here.
Delighted to have you. Is it true, Ilka, could it be that this information is right, that you starred in 20 Broadway shows?
I didn't star in them, let's be honest, but I may have had parts in about 20 Broadway shows. Yes, that's possible.
Well, I've seen you on so many of those TV panel shows, too. You always look like you got a kick out of doing those. They're
fun,
aren't
they? Kind of fun. I enjoy them. Yeah.
Now you got a new book that you're beating the drums for,
mm-hmm.
Huh?
That's it. Three Men on the Left Hand. It's just been born. It's a novel. And On Friday, we had an autographing party at the Main Street bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
And Lottie Haggerty did a wonderful job about getting people in and so on. It was really quite a lot of fun. And I would like to say, if there are any curious people who would like to read the book, there are autographed copies available at the Main Street bookstore.
Well, I know that, of course, we go all over the country and the world, and I suppose that book will be coming other places besides here.
Oh, yes, surely. It just happened that as I was in Chicago at that time, they had a little special due, but naturally it's on sale now in bookshops all over the country.
What does this mean, Three Men on the Left Hand?
Well, the story is about a young woman, and on her left hand she wears a wedding ring, and another ring, of a beautiful ring of modern design, and a wristwatch. And these three jewels were given her by three different men, that lucky girl. And it's the story of the girl and the three fellows.
The three men, huh?
Mm-hmm. That's the idea.
I am, I understand the word chase, but have you any explanation for Ilka?
Yes, I have an explanation and an excuse. Actually, you know, Ilka isn't quite as exotic as it sounds. All it means is Helen, but it is Hungarian for Helen. And we're not Hungarian in our family, but at the time I was born, my mother had a friend of whom she was very fond who was not Hungarian either. The friend was...
So it seems to work out real well.
Well, there's got quite a lot of logic to it, you see, because the friend was half German and half Polish. But she had a Hungarian name, and his mother was very fond of her, and she thought the name unusual, and she thought it was pretty. She liked it very much, so she named me after her friend, and that was it. That's how I came to get it.
Ilka, you probably heard this gentleman talk about the new hairdos before. What do you think of them?
Well, I myself am glad that the beehive is kind of on the way out. I think they're fun for those who have the strength and time, but I couldn't do it myself. Yeah. And I tell you another thing I think about the beehive. I think they're kind of amusing, but I think unless one is as young and pretty as this young lady here who sings today, I do think that the beehive tends to make one a little bit older, and let's face it, why do that?
Yeah. Ilka, do you believe this... I don't know whether you change your hairdo a lot or not, but do you think that when a woman finds a hairdo that is peculiarly and particularly becoming to her, that she ought to stick with it regardless of what the style is?
Yes, I do pretty much. After all, why not look your best?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I'm for change occasionally, for goodness sake.
Yes.
You know, you keep looking and looking at that same old puss in the mirror, and you think, ooh. there's something. You have to make a break in some way. But on the whole, I should say that it's more intelligent for a woman to keep to her own style, modifying it a little, obviously, for the current trend, but still in all, to do it her own way.
Look, I had this little poem I did this morning about the different symptoms people have. Here you are with a doctor for a husband. You must find yourself in a horrible state. You have no sympathy at all for all your little troubles.
Oh, you're sorry. You know, and I was so disillusioned because I thought, how wonderful, I'll marry this darling man, and he'll be so tender, and he'll care, you know, and when I'm not well, won't it be divine? Well, you know, when I'm not well, I say, darling, I don't really feel awfully well today. And he said, well, you don't? Well, for heaven's sake, take an aspirin or something, you know? That's about all the sympathy I get.
He probably sends you a bill, but
that far he has never quite dared go. I will say, however, though, about being married to a doctor, if one is really ill, if anything truly serious happens, then,
oh boy,
hell's a poppin', you know.
You got it made right there at home, huh? Ilka, I've read your columns and they're written from all over as you travel. I wondered if you prefer to live in New York. I presume, being a New Yorker, you do.
Well, yes, New York really is home, Don, but I adore travel. I'm really a travel buff, and as I say, we had this wonderful trip around the world, and I've gone to Europe many times, and I'm longing now to go to Africa, and I'd like to go to Russia. I love the world. I just like to go.
Well, good for you. Speaking of the world, I don't know whether you have much time at home to watch television, but what do you think of the plethora of Westerns and violence shows on television?
I do not like it.
You don't?
No.
I don't either. I think it's too much of it, don't
you? I
think
it's far too much, and I think it's, with very few exceptions, I think they're awful bores, and I think it's monotonous, and I think it's such a paucity of invention. My heavens, if we aren't capable of thinking up more fresh and original ideas than that, I think we're in a bad way.
Well... And it do, but that's what people seem to like, I am told.
I would suggest that they watch those less and read more.
So speaketh the author.
Yes.
And why not? Yes. See, in your travels, do you think, it used to be generally thought this, I don't know if it's true anymore, that European women are smarter looking than American women?
I think that the most sophisticated of European women, and perhaps the richest, have a great elegance. That, I think, is true. I think, however, that the normal woman in the world, I think there is nobody to compare with the way the American woman dresses and is turned out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is largely due, of course, to our extraordinary ready-to-wear industry and the clothes that are manufactured mm-hmm. largely on 7th Avenue in New York and sent all over the world.
Yeah.
And I think there isn't any question that American women have a very high standard of good dressing.
In other words, the usual American homemaker looks much smarter than the usual European homemaker.
Yes, I think so. I think, of course, inevitably, we tend all perhaps to look a little bit alike. I think sometimes in Europe you find a little more originality
mm-hmm.
in clothes. I don't know that we Americans are so original, but that we are sort of mass well turned out, I think, yes.
Well, that's a good explanation of saying. Just for fun, let's go over to Paris for a second, should we?
Why not?
All right, April in Paris here. I think we'll all find this most interesting. Big Noel.
April in Paris. Chestnuts in blossom, holiday tables under the tree. It's April in Paris. This is the feeling no one can ever. Never met it face to face. I never knew my heart could sing. Never missed a warm embrace till April in Paris. Whom can I run to?
Thank you. Well, Ilka, it's certainly been wonderful having this visit
well,
with you.
Well, it's very
morning.
Kind of you, Don. I'm awfully grateful to you for letting me come and tell a little bit about my new novel, Three Men on the Left Hand.
Actually, we didn't let you tell much about it. I think the best thing to do would be have people buy and read it, don't you?
I think that would be fine.
Yeah,
yes,
why
I
not?
Certainly do.
Ilka, if your travels ever bring you back this way, I hope you come and see us at the Breakfast Club again.
Thank you very much, Don. I'll come with pleasure.
Thank you. Ilka Chase.
Bye. Good luck.
Bye. If you want to be real kind to your neighbor, like I'm always saying, why don't you open the window? Probably the temperature is real nice and warm where you are now, as it's getting around these parts. Open your window and yell out and say, "Hey, you know who's going to be on? Yeah, he's just about to announce it. your old friend Aunt Fanny, and she'll be glad to listen, too.
Give me room to collapse.
Collapse?
Oh,
What's the matter?
Get up and go. Can't even get up today.
No.
And I'm not going to ask how you are, because you'll say fine, and then I'll hate you.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
What's the matter with you?
I have been busier than a fan dancer in molting season. Well, I suppose it's just kind of like any old structure that goes through a hard winter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've got cracks in the plaster. The joists are buckling, and I got a sag in the foundation.
No.
Oh, I had a weekend with a capital week.
Really?
Well, you know, Friday, I was talking to you about the Nettie and the income tax, you know.
You did say that, yes.
Well, I went out to give her personal help.
Yes.
I'll tell you, anybody that says blanks can't hurt you has never wrestled with them that the Eternal Revenuers send out. Ain't it the truth?
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
you
yes.
know it. Well, I don't know. Maybe I'm just getting old.
Oh, I wouldn't.
That could be.
You
that
look
could
wonderful.
Could be. Well,
never
saw
you look better.
Worse things than getting old.
Yeah.
Give me time, I'll think of some of them. Well, there are, really, when you stop to think about it.
What?
When you get old, you don't have to worry about whether you're going to get a seat on the bus.
No.
Because you know you ain't going to get one.
That's right, you know.
Well, I'll tell you, then after I had had this tattoo over to Nettie's and Ed's,
yes.
I volunteered it. I done it myself.
Did you?
Yes, I agreed to go over to the Bungworts. Beulah and Buford.
Bungwash?
Yes, they were going to the parade, you know.
Oh,
and I volunteered to go over there and watch the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's one kid I was finger-painted from tip to toe, you know, with pablum.
Oh, my.
Three of them cut each other's hair.
No.
Oh, I'll tell you, I do not think I could get out of this chair. If you would say, ask me right this minute to get out. I don't
Excuse
think
me.
I could.
Telephone's ringing. Hello.
You know, you get for your just
She's here,
them.
Yeah.
We wore out. You know how it is.
Aunt Fanny.
What? Oh.
Telephone. Though.
Hello? Oh! Hody-ho-dap.
Hody-ho-dap. Well,
he's the barber out home.
The barber?
Hello. How's the shaves and haircuts going? The barber's ball? Tonight? Well, let me think. You know, he's a lot shorter than I am.
Uh-huh.
He dances backwards all the time. But I can see where we're going, so
well,
it's all
that's
right.
Right.
Well, all right. 9 o'clock? Well, remember them two steps. I'm going to have them all. Yes. Well, all right. I'll be there with my hair in a braid. Oh, I shouldn't say he likes to cut hair. No, I'll be there. All righty.
Oh, wait a minute. You say you're going out there, Aunt Fanny, but I thought you were so tired.
Oh, mind your own business.
Oh, my.
There she goes. Because right now it's last call to breakfast.
All you breakfast clubbers, this ends our meeting. Once again tomorrow, you'll hear our greeting.
Yeah, I hope so, breakfast clubbers, because we just can't do nothing without you. So be there tomorrow, huh? Until then, Don McNeil, the whole gang, say so long and be good to your neighbors.
McNeil's Breakfast Club has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.